In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Monday, February 7th, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I hope you had a good Super Bowl Sunday, whatever you did. And, of course, the end of the Super Bowl means only one thing in the Rose household, and that is that it's only 2 weeks until the Daytona 500, which is a whole different story. On the program today, we're going to take you back to the Center for American Progress on Wednesday, the GIPRA Modernization Act, a panel discussion there with three people who know their stuff. Beth Blauer is State Stat Director for Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, and you'll learn more about what State Stat is. Jonathan Brule, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and Robert Shea, former Associate Director at OMB, all participating in this panel. And if that's not enough brain power for you, the panel discussion was moderated by Bill Eggers of Deloitte. So a lot of smart people who know a lot about government management at that event. And you'll hear highlights of that later on in this hour and into hour number two of the program today. More with less is, of course, a mantra that you're hearing all over the federal government. And agencies are tightening belts. There's no question about that. And there is some fear that in the vendor community, small businesses might get lost in that shuffle. One person who knows a lot about how small businesses operate is Guy Timberlake, Chief Executive Officer and Chief Visionary Officer with the American Small Business Coalition. Guy, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, Francis, I appreciate the opportunity, and I'll just let you know I am celebrating Super Bowl Sunday because my team did come out ahead on this one.
I saw you posting pictures on Facebook yesterday throughout the game and commentary regarding the Packers, so congratulations to you on that.
Matt, thanks very much. It's nice to see Lombardi going home.
What exactly should small businesses be thinking about in light of some of the things that are going on budget-wise right now, Guy?
And to be completely honest, I mean, it should really be nothing different than what they would think about during times when the budget has been passed. It really comes down to kind of having a focused approach, really having criteria in place for how you pursue business opportunities. And a situation like this for companies that thrive on new business opportunities or innovations, these are the companies, small or large, that are taking the biggest hit right now because under the CRs, if it's not already funded or appropriated, it doesn't happen. So right now, companies that are supporting operational activities are probably seeing the benefit right now rather than their counterparts on the innovation side.
Mm-hmm. What with the lack of new opportunities, I guess right now more important than anything else is keeping the good customers you have, kind of like what the feds are up against when it comes to HR type stuff. You want to keep the good people you have. You want to keep the good customers, the good book of business you already have.
Well, absolutely, and it's let me clarify one thing. It's not so much that it's not new opportunities, but it's new programs
mm-hmm.
for the government. So it very well may be that if you're doing work right now within one of the DOD agencies, that there may be an opportunity for your company to go support requirements at EPA or HHS. Again, it's as long as it's an operational need going on as opposed to a brand new program that they're starting up.
What are the companies that are surviving and thriving, even in this time, doing to make themselves aware of those opportunities? I mean, it's one thing to look at FedBizOps every day, but everybody else is doing that too. That's not really an edge, I wouldn't think.
Well, and it really isn't. I mean, FedBizOps is, one of the resources out there companies can choose to use for gathering information, but there are lots and lots of other resources out there, Federal News Radio being one of those resources. The information that, you and the folks at FNR put out on a regular basis is information that companies should consume and use that to really understand what's happening within the agencies at a high level, by someone in the C-suite, for example, making decisions or determinations about what their agency is going to do, going forward the next few months or next few years. But there are all sorts of data repositories out there. There are tools, that Google offers, for example, that can help companies really hone in on capturing the information that will help them identify those opportunities. One of the key things, though, is FedBizOps represents such a small drop in the bucket of the business that's going on in the government on a regular basis. So companies need to look at those already existing contracts that are out there, whether they're GWAC contracts or agency-specific contract vehicles, position themselves for teams, and then look at different procurement levels, micro-purchases, simplified acquisitions, which are up to $150,000, and figure out exactly how their business model fits into those areas.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're friends on Facebook, so I see you mentioning all the time that you're going. You must do 500 events a year, it seems like. You're always going somewhere. When you have these small business owners come up to you and talk to you about how they're doing business with the government or how they're not and would like to, what's the maybe the top two or three mistakes or missteps or whatever that could be easily corrected that some of these companies are making?
I think a lot of folks, you know, whether they've been in the business for a little while or are brand new to it, they fall into kind of a trap. And the trap is really listening to a lot of the hype, as we call it, that's put out there. A lot of it has to do with being kind of steered in the wrong direction. You have to have a GSA schedule. You have to go get 8A certified, things of that nature. And while those may be useful tools for a lot of organizations, it may be just as much of a detriment to others. Depending on the organizations that you're trying to pursue, they may or may not use that contract vehicle, you know, in the area that you're interested in. That socioeconomic designation may not, you know, hold the same weight as it would with another agency, for example. So I think a lot of it has to do with trying to get out of the default mindsets, if you will, of this is what everybody else says we should be doing. I think market research is a huge piece of it, and whether you choose to do it on your own or you go out to one of the different services that are offered out there, it's completely up to you. But really building up the information so that you understand how to make decisions is really critical.
Mm-hmm. You're a big relationships guy. You're a big connections guy. And what are some of the things that, the successful companies, large and small, are doing to build those relationships even in lean times like this?
Well, I think what they're doing more than anything else is trying to understand you know, the folks that either are their customers or they want to have as customers, where are they getting their information from? And based on, you know, my relevance to what their current or future needs are, how do I raise visibility for myself as a thought leader in those areas? And, you know, Mark Amtower is someone that I, you know, talk to a lot relative to being a thought leader from a government marketing standpoint. And he's one that really kind of helped me understand the framework. But doing things like op-eds, you know, going out to, you know, articles or discussions that you folks are having or one of the other industry publications is putting out there and commenting on that or appending it somehow and saying, hey, look, here's my thoughts on this or this is how this might benefit your organization, you know, from a technology or process standpoint. What they've got to do is really raise their profile, and it's not about going out and just buying ad space on the side of a bus or something like that. Probably wouldn't hurt, but I think just putting yourself out there as someone who's got something to say about a certain technology or process really helps people understand who you are and what you're all about.
That's a relatively new development, isn't it? It seems like just over the last couple of years that trend has developed in purchasing where the agencies are much more comfortable dealing with somebody that they know is an expert and has a depth of knowledge about a particular area rather than just is a vendor of widgets and has given us the best deal.
Well, and I think it's really kind of, it's something that has spun off of one of the common practices the government uses, which is things like the sources sought and the request for information. The government doesn't have all the answers all the time. And when they don't have an answer or they're looking to further expand their knowledge in some instances, they'll reach out to industry and say, hey, look, what would you do in this situation? How would you handle this? And that creates, you know, opportunity for dialogue. And if you are that expert or that organization that has those experts, it creates an opportunity for you to go in there and start your stuff.
Let's talk some more about that dialogue and ways that the industry side can spur that dialogue and maybe some of the reticence that agencies have had in doing that. We'll have that conversation when I come back with Guy Timberlake. He's the CEO of the American Small Business Coalition and my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
George Washington Colonials defend the Charles E. Smith Center against the best of the Atlantic 10. Richmond, Charlotte, Temple, and Dayton invade Foggy Bottom in the fight for conference domination. Get your four-game ticket package today and be a part of the battle plan. Call 202-994-6050 or visit gwsports.com now.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and AVU Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
Thai and Cambodian troops battled for 2 hours last Friday along a disputed stretch of their shared border. They were trading artillery fire that observers say killed two people near an 11th century temple that's a UN World Heritage Site. The fighting was some of the fiercest in years between the two countries. Tensions between them have escalated in recent days because of pressure from a Thai nationalist group urging the government in Bangkok to reclaim the land. I'm J.J. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? Arink has. Arink provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. Arink helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Staying active, staying alive. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Staying physically active could reduce the risk of death from colon cancer. At Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, Kathleen Wallen saw that in data on more than 150,000 people. The study compared their physical activity patterns between 1982 and 1997 to colon cancer deaths from 1998 to 2006.
People who are consistently active over the course of their adulthood had a lower risk of death from colon cancer than folks who were sedentary.
Wallen says any time is a good time to start, with 30 minutes of brisk walking each day. The study in cancer epidemiology, biomarkers, and prevention was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabek Insider this afternoon. Innovation. We know it can be difficult in government. We'll tap insights, lessons learned from a group outside government that has focused on government innovation, how you can make it work, and how agencies can fail, but in a safe way. And it's the first Monday of the new month. How'd your thrift savings plan perform in January? We'll find out this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabek Insider, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Guy Timberlake. He is Chief Visionary and Chief Executive Officer of the American Small Business Coalition. And Guy, we were talking before the break about collaboration. And I know vendors want to be able to collaborate with the agencies. Dan Gordon's talked about that. Martha Johnson's talked about it, how necessary it is. Some of the agencies are better at it than others. And I'm wondering if you have some insight as to how maybe the vendor people, especially the small business people you work with, can encourage that without maybe without seeming like we're just trying to get in good with you to do some business with you, how to really develop that collaborative relationship.
Well, and I think, I guess the first thing is that there was an interesting article out years ago. I think Jason Miller actually wrote this article when he was with another organization, but it had to do with, how government officials viewed their relationship with vendors and how, it was kind of one of those risk aversion, you've got to take the meeting, but you really don't want to, that type of thing. And I think some of that still exists, obviously, within the government, but there are a lot more folks in government that understand the value of that collaboration. And so on one hand, there is the apprehension on some folks, from the legal standpoints relative to ensuring that there's fair competition, no conflicts of interest, that type of thing. But on the other hand, there's that absolute need for information to ensure we can get the job done to support the agency mission. So it's really kind of a catch-22 in some instances. But as you mentioned, there are some agencies that are definitely much better at it than others that are more open to it. And I think Dan Gordon was quoted in their article today talking about that relationship, the dialogue with agencies and vendors being a benefit to the agencies. And, you know, what we talk about quite a bit within, you know, various groups in the ASBC are those opportunities to get FaceTime with someone, whether it's, you know, in a small forum or even a one-on-one, and being able to go in a way and present information without making it an absolute sales pitch. Everyone in the government knows that most likely somebody in the industry wants to talk to them. At the end of the day, it's going to be about business. So there's no big secret there whatsoever. But it really all depends on how you present yourself. And if you can go in there and talk about, you know, what the challenges are that an agency is having, or, you know, a new innovation that may help them, you know, get from point A to point B, and have that discussion without browbeating them into, can you sign the deal, can you sign the deal, I think it creates an opportunity. And I think it's just a matter of folks, you know, realizing that and being able to go have these discussions.
I see people at every event that I go to. I see a long line of people that step up and want to talk to the CAOs and various people after these meetings. And I just wonder what cuts through in some of those discussions. If you're the 14th person in a receiving line of 25 people that want to talk to the chief acquisition officer at agency X, I always wonder what makes a difference, what sticks in somebody's mind that when you do the follow-up a couple days later, the person actually remembers you instead of just saying, oh, this must have been one of the 30 people I talked to.
Well, and I think a lot of times it's not always just about getting a follow-up with that person, especially, you know, again, at the C-level. It may be getting connected with the right person in their organization, on their staff, or somewhere else down line from them. So, you know, a lot of times, and again, it goes back to research, you know, if you're going to get an opportunity to, you know, get, you know, FaceTime with someone, even if it's just part of the receiving line, as it were, you've got to know what's going to be of interest to them, what's going to be of value to them. And it gets back into not bringing a pocket knife to a sword fight, as it were, but going up there and being able to say, you know, hey, look, I understand this is something that your organization is currently working on, and you've taken this on as an initiative, and my organization does this, this, and this, and this is how we see it being relevant. Is there a chance you can point me in the right direction, or would you be the person I would sit down with to discuss this to see if there might be something we can do down the road?
I stood by a couple of times at an event about 2 months ago and listened to the folks that were doing this receiving line business with a CAO at one of the major cabinet level organizations. And almost everybody said almost exactly the same thing. My name is fill in the blank, and my company's name is fill in the blank, and we provide blah, blah, blah to fill your blank, fill in the blank needs. And I just thought that's what made me ask you what really cuts through. We only have about 30 seconds left, Guy, and this is a subject I hope to talk with you about at some point in the not-too-distant future. A lot of people talking about mergers and acquisitions and divestitures. What kind of impact, if any, in just a couple of words, is that having on the small business community right now?
Well, I think it's something that companies need to be very cognizant of right now to understand how the landscape is changing. And if somebody is going to be moving into their shipping lane, as it were, they need to be aware of what, you know, how that's going to potentially impact them as they keep moving forward.
Let's get you to come on in a couple of weeks and talk about that some more, because it looks like 2011 is going to be just as big, or maybe even a bigger year of shifting landscapes than 2010 was. So I'd like to get your insight on that if I could.
Yep, it's a matter of survival for a lot of companies, absolutely.
All right, love to have you come back. Thank you very much for being on today. Guy Timberlake, Chief Visionary and Chief Executive Officer of the American Small Business Coalition, and Packer fan. Thanks for being on today, bud.
Francis, thanks for having me on.